This episode is sponsored by Artistic You. Artistic You is an online yarn shop that offers beautiful hand-dyed yarns. The shop is owned and operated by Marcy Allen, and she is the artist behind all of the dyeing. Color palettes range from neutrals and pastels to rich jewel tones. The fibers used by Artistic You are carefully selected for their beauty and quality. You will find the all-natural yarns to be representative of the finest examples of the wools, cashmere, and silk that make up the product line. It is the purpose of Artistic You to offer knitters and crafters the fibers and yarns they want in the quality they expect. You can find them at artisticyou.com and visit the website often to find new and exciting products. And we have a coupon code right now for 20% off of any purchase. Just go to artisticyou.com and enter the code VERYPINK20. And remember, with Artistic You, shipping is always free on orders of $35 or more. And I will have the link to Artistic You's website and the coupon code in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 137, so if you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, you can actually just look in your podcast app, or you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 137. That's it. The intro's over. How are you doing, Casey?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day.
It sure is.
Yes. I was so happy to be wearing sweaters and stuff while it was cold, but I'm ready to just wear shorts again, I think.
Yeah. I'm just tired of my winter clothes. I can't imagine. People who live somewhere really cold because I get so tired of it.
No, Casey, here's the thing. The people who live places where it's really cold, they have awesome winter wardrobes. They have beautiful boots. They have beautiful coats. And of course, if they're knitters, they have scarves and gloves and sweaters and everything else. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Like when I go back to Alaska and it's a warm day, you know, it's like 66 degrees or something, which is a hot day for them. They put on their summer clothes and all of their summer clothes look like they're from the 1980s or 1990s because they don't buy summer clothes like we buy summer clothes, and their summer clothes don't wear out. And so their winter clothes are awesome and their summer clothes look like they're in a Duran Duran video. So that's why we're getting tired of our winter clothes, is because we don't have the awesomeness in our winter wardrobe that they have.
And when I was in like high school, I would get like Sassy magazine or whatever, and I always wanted to go to school on the East Coast because they all were wearing like tights and sweaters and all those things that because I grew up in Southern California, like never wore. But it was just for the wardrobe.
You just wanted to live there for the wardrobe. I'm not sure that's worth it, but, you know, because when you live up there, yes, you have awesome boots and coats and everything else, but then you also have to shovel snow, and I've broken my tailbone twice in my life, and they were both from slipping on ice, and, you know, there are other things involved. Sliding, learning to drive while your car is sliding all over the road.
Yeah.
There are ups and downs to both.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we are going to magically turn some knitting questions into knitting answers on this episode.
Ready?
Yep.
Hi, lovely ladies. My question relates to discomfort in my knitting arm, right-handed, that the doc calls tennis elbow. I'm thinking it's the result of knitting, as I cannot think of any other activity I've done to cause it. I'm curious if you've heard of knitting elbow and how to avoid it in the future. It's not fun. Thanks for your expertise and delightful podcast. Just finished my first pair of human socks, not Christmas stockings, following Stacy's 9-inch needle pattern. Turned out great. Marianne from Polly's Island, South Carolina.
Hi, Marianne. Casey and I can tell you all about elbow problems.
Yes.
And I can talk exactly about tennis elbow because that's what I get in my left arm, and I usually get it during the busy knitting season, like when I'm really getting a lot done for the videos and patterns and everything that I have coming out, like October, November, December, January, and doing Christmas presents. I end up
knitting more than I should, not listening to my body, and I end up getting, I think tennis elbow is tendonitis in mm-hmm. your elbow.
Yeah.
And for me, not knitting so much makes it go away, or I don't get it to begin with. I don't get it the rest of the year, just when I'm knitting a lot. So slowing down, listening to my body, that's how I keep it from happening. That's the only solution that I know of, is to just slow down and not irritate it, right? Mm-hmm. Casey, you have a different thing going on.
Yeah, I've got what they call cubital tunnel syndrome. So like, everybody knows about your carpal tunnel in your wrist, which is
right.
where all your nerves, the tunnels are where your nerves travel through. And so the one on your elbow is kind of exposed. It's when you hit your funny bone and you feel that little spark.
Oh, it's the same thing? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you're feeling all the time?
Not all the time, but so mine on my left side is kind of like out of place, or it keeps popping out of place. Mine's more from working out, I think, and doing repetitive things in the gym. But yeah, so I'm going to have surgery. So that'll be fun. Because they can't fix it. The good thing is my nerves aren't damaged. I went and had a whole nerve conduction test. But it's just a mechanical thing. So it's like no amount of stretching, or I was doing physical therapy and that was almost making it worse.
You were doing a lot of icing too.
Yeah. And that's just, it doesn't help. It just pops out of place when I do anything like where I'm bending my elbow.
Right.
So, yeah.
Are you still working out?
Mm-hmm. I'm just modifying a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're going to have some downtime.
I know.
That would be
I've
perfect for knitting.
Got a stack of books to read.
After surgery is perfect knitting time, but you won't be able to knit during your after
surgery.
I don't think so.
I haven't asked them, but, you know, they do want, like, within a week, I'm supposed to be moving and doing some therapy stuff, so.
Okay. Knitting can happen then. You can go a week without knitting, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. It just might not feel good. I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
This episode is sponsored by Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. No BS, mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going into your body. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription. Lola will deliver exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester. Ooh. Their feminine care products may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrance, and dyes. Lola products are 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. The company is founded by women, for women, and you can feel good about your purchase. For every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. And I can say that I am a big fan of Lola. They deliver right to my door exactly what I need, 100% organic cotton. Everything I need is right there. I've customized my box so it shows up when I need it with everything that I need. And with the 100% organic cotton, I like knowing about the fibers in my life, whether it's my knitting or my personal products. And with Lola, I can be really confident about that. If you would like to give Lola a try, you can become a fan too. They have 40% off all subscriptions. If you go to mylola.com and enter the promo code VERYPINK, that's 40% off. If you visit mylola.com and enter the code VERYPINK, and I will have that link and the promo code in the show notes.
Okay, next question. After the second episode, gosh, in which you mentioned podcasts you listen to while knitting, I downloaded my Dan Wrote a Porno. I finally had a break and downloaded books and just started listening to it. I think you need to warn your listeners that knitting and listening to this can cause problems. I've dropped stitches and bungled a cable repair from previously dropped stitches from laughing so hard while knitting. I've spit out liquid all over my knitting because I made the mistake of taking a drink of water while knitting and listening to this podcast. Again, laughing. I'm not sure one should drive and listen to this podcast. And the question is, could you explain a Welsh heel or do a video on it? Thanks for the fun podcasts and great videos and interesting patterns. Another Lisa from Ohio.
Hi, Lisa. Regarding your question, I actually do have a new sock tutorial out that with a Welsh heel. So we'll go ahead and link to that in the show notes. It's already done. Video, pattern, everything. And regarding podcasts, and you were talking about my dad wrote a porno and how funny it is. Yes, it's very funny. Don't have a mouth full of liquid while you're listening to this.
It's you very might do naughty, it. Too, so don't have kids around.
Don't have kids around. You know, I was going to ask you, see, are there... we could do an updated list of our favorite podcasts because I think new stuff is coming out all the time. And do you have any of note that you want to let people know about?
I've been kind of just listening to The Daily for news and stuff like that. But I've been really enjoying like some of the shorter, they're not serials, like Serial, the podcast. But there was one called, of course, now I can't think of the name of it.
That's the way
there
it goes.
There was one about the whole investigation of the gymnastics coach that was a horrible person, but that was a really good podcast because it gave you a whole bunch of different perspectives. It was called Believed.
Okay.
Did you listen to that? You didn't.
No, I didn't. Haven't heard of it. This. See, you have to. We have to share these things so that I know about them.
So that was just, it's like a short, I think it's like 8 episodes maybe.
Yeah.
And so they talked to the coaches, or they talked to some of the girls who were victims, and they talked to some of the parents. And so it's really crazy. And then Unerased, which is about conversion therapy, which is another short.
Yeah, I listened to part of that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was good. So I'm enjoying those little short, like investigative shows. I also, you know, I'm into cults.
So. That's right. You listen to all the podcasts on cults.
Yeah. So the Canadian, I think it's CB something, the Canadian Broadcasting CBC maybe, had one on Nexium, which is a kind of a still going on cult. So those are my recommendations. Yeah,
I have one that I listened to most of the episodes just yesterday while I was getting a lot of knitting done, and it's called Dropout, and it's about... Mm-hmm. Is her name Elizabeth Holmes, the woman who behind Theranos?
Oh, I heard about that one too.
Blood, that company was going to revolutionize blood tests, but it was just all fake and a lie. And this is an ABC investigative podcast, and it's really good. I like these podcasts where it's not just someone reading the story. It's actually people out there with a microphone getting people who are involved in the story to go on record and say something. And I really like that. It's really well done. I can give a link to that. And I actually found that because I was just poking around my podcast app, and it's one of the most popular podcasts right now. And then there's another investigative one. God, I'm listening to a lot of investigative ones. And it's Who the Hell is Hamish? And it's an Australian broadcasting company show about this guy who just plays this really long game of stealing people's money by becoming really good friends with them and getting them to invest, and also just not just stealing their money, but like getting engaged to women to steal their money. It's really good. It's that's really so good. Crazy. It's really well done. And I also like listening to the Australian accent. So that's nice too. Yeah.
My husband was telling me he was listening to Criminal, and it was about a girl whose mother stole her identity and was stealing money from her own daughter because she had a second family. I was like, my life is so boring that I don't have things like that. I'm not stealing people's identities.
It's because we're home knitting instead of creating second families.
So crazy. I can't even imagine. Those were all serious, but if you want something really light and funny and just kooky, it's Everything is Alive. I talk about it all the time.
Yes.
And it's where the host interviews an inanimate object. And so the the guest takes on the persona of that object. And so it's just hilarious because they're comedians, but it's also kind of like deep, and you know, you think about life and the things that we interact with in our lives. So the last one was a pregnancy test. It's really good.
They interviewed a pregnancy test.
Yes.
Nice.
It's so funny. So
I don't have my phone in the podcast room with me, but I will look to see if there are any others that I'm listening. Those were just off the top of my head. And I hopefully have something less serious than like a deep investigative dive into crimes that I can share. Because, because I listen to a lot of different things besides audiobooks also.
Okay,
let's get to the questions.
Can you give me pros and cons of these two types of cast-ons for toe-up socks? Provisional, the one Stacy's patterns use, and Judy's magic cast-on. Thanks, Lee.
Hi, Leah. The two kinds of cast-ons that you've described here, provisional, like the ones I use, which is a crochet chain cast-on, or Judy's Magic Cast-On, those are actually both provisional cast-on. Well, not Judy's Magic Cast-On gets you stitches on two sides. Oh, it's so hard to explain. This is what I'm going to say. They're both good. For people who are newer knitters, I'm going to say the way that I teach is a bit easier because you're able to keep good tension a little bit easier. Judy's Magic Cast-On, it's difficult to keep good tension if you're still learning, not super comfortable with maybe sock yarn, tiny needles, DPNs, whatever else you're using. So the way I teach it is a little bit easier in most of my sock patterns. The reason I'm struggling with this is because I do actually have at least one pattern that uses Judy's Magic Cast-On. I know mm-hmm. my flip-flop socks use that.
Yep.
And the biggest difference, and the reason that you should always just use the cast-on that the pattern recommends and not try to modify this, is Judy's Magic Cast-On, when you're talking about socks, starts you at the tippy toe of the sock. And the cast-on that I use starts you up like at the base of the toes, and then you knit down to the tippy toe of the sock and then back up again and join in the round. So they start you in completely different places in the sock, and so one isn't substitutable for the other. You have to follow what it is. But I'm going to say the crochet chain cast-on that I use is a bit easier for newer knitters. Judy's Magic Cast-On has its benefits because different sock patterns use it, and they're both totally effective. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with both of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Judy's Magic Cast-On, you just really have to sit down and think about it the first time you use it.
Yeah, but I noticed for newer knitters who are still trying to get a grip on like keeping tension on their working yarn, and you know, Judy's Magic Cast-On is usually done with Magic Loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out like where their working yarn is and where their cord is and what their next stitch is and stuff, I think Judy's Magic Cast-On is a lot. And so the way that I teach it is a bit easier. I don't know. I think people, I tell this to people all the time who send me questions, like, I hate DPNs. Can you tell me how to knit this without DPNs? And I tell them, give it a try, you know, try something different. Don't be afraid. But I will tell you that this is easier this way than that way, but don't be afraid to try something different. Give it a go. You might end up liking it. You didn't like it 2 years ago, but you're a better knitter now, you know.
Yeah.
Expand your horizons, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, ladies. Firstly, thank you for all the effort you both put into the podcast and all the knitting expertise you bestow on us. It is thanks to both of you that I have now been knitting for just over a year. My question has to do with knitting in the round. For some reason, whenever I knit in the round, the wrong side of the work always ends up on the outside facing me. This isn't an issue with cowls, but it is a problem when something needs to be seamed with Kitchener stitch at the end of the work. Can you tell me why this happens? I'm very puzzled by it. Thanks again for all you do to increase the knowledge of knitting. My husband says my knitting will come in handy during the apocalypse. Warmly, Ashley from upstate New York.
I'm not sure how funny that is.
The apocalypse is not funny.
No, the apocalypse is not funny. Okay, this is a really good question. And it's something that when I was doing a lot of teaching in person, I came across it all the time. And so I put this video out called Knitting Inside Out on DPNs, and I specified DPNs, but it's the same no matter what method you're using for knitting in the round. And I'm not going to go into it here because it is a really visual thing, so we're just going to link to that video in the show notes. I would end up really getting stuck down a rabbit hole of trying to describe something that's very visual. So I'll do you all the favor and not talk a lot about it, but I will say that this happens a lot with people, and they get confused as to why the inside of their sock is on the outside of the work, you know, why they're looking at that, you know, when other people aren't. It's all explained in the video. So
usually, is it because they're, when they join in the round, they start going, it's coming from the bottom or the top? Or
no, like the little bit that I will say about it is like when you and I knit in the round, we have the needles close to us and the rest of the work away from us, right?
Yeah.
People who are knitting inside out actually have the rest of the work close to their bodies and the needles away from them. And so they're looking at the right side of the work, but the right side of the work is inside the tube.
Right.
So Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I tell them how to fix it in the video.
All right. Okay. Hi, Stacey and Casey. I'm Paula. I've been knitting a couple of years now, and Stacey is the main reason I didn't give up in despair after a week.
Oh.
I live in Telluride, Colorado, where there are plenty of reasons to knit warm things to wear.
I bet she has an awesome winter wardrobe.
Yes. I enjoyed this week's podcast and your discussion of your favorite types of sock knitting needles. Have either of you tried the new Addy Crazy Trio flexible needles? Mine just arrived from Germany and I plan to try them tomorrow. I bought the size US size 1. They are intriguing because you use them instead of 4 or 5 DPN or magic loop or 9-inch circulars. The stitches are held on two of the needles and the other is used as the active needle, much as you would with DPNs, but these have a flexible bit of cable in the middle. I'd love to hear what you think of them. I've never heard of them.
Actually, you have, because she ordered hers from Germany, where they are called Crazy Trio, but here in the U.S. they're called Flexi Flips. So you do know about them, Casey, because I do already have... Yeah. I have one video out and one video on the way, like maybe next week it's coming out, where I answer a lot of the questions that I've gotten from people about Flexi Flips after my first video. Mm-hmm. I really like them. You haven't actually used them yet, though, have you? I don't think I've seen you use them. No. I really like them. And as a knitting teacher, I like them because I like the way that they give you the benefits of like 9-inch circulars, but... they give you a little bit more to hang on to. The reason people don't like 9-inch circulars is because the needles are so short. And I think some people just feel like their hands are kind of too clumsy to hang on to such a tiny little bit of needle. Mm-hmm. And the Flexi Flips or Crazy Trio in Europe give you a little bit more needle to hang on to. But then they don't have the downside of Magic Loop, because in Magic Loop, your first and last stitches can end up crazy tight because they're on the cord. And on Flexi Flips, they don't have to be on the cord. So in summary, I really like them. I have them in a couple of sizes. I'm actually using them on a new sock pattern that I'm designing right now. You don't have to use them on the sock pattern that I'm designing, but I choose to use them for at least part of the sock that I'm knitting. Then I switch to 9-inch circulars when I'm just knitting, you know, the cuff or whatever. But Casey, I'm going to encourage you to give them a try because I know you like sock knitting. What are you using on the socks that you're knitting right now?
I'm actually doing Magic Loop.
You are? That's not usually your preferred method.
You know, I can't remember why.
You can't remember why it's not your preferred method or why
I think,
you started
I can't remember why I started. I think because I'm doing the flip-flop socks.
And oh, you started
easier
on...
to set it up.
You started on Magic Loop. Yes, that's... I wrote the pattern so that you start on Magic Loop and then you just never switch to a different type of needle.
Yeah, I just kept it on there because I'm actually enjoying these. They're really sharp.
Who makes them?
What's the...
Chiaogu. I had my friend Vivian, who speaks Chinese, I had her help me with the pronunciation before I said it in video. Because you know on YouTube, if you pronounce something incorrectly, you have 5,000 comments of people who actually want to hurt you. Because YouTube is anarchy. So I'm always really careful to get things right the first time. Anyway, Vivian helped me pronounce. So I have it on good authority that it's Chiaogu.
Chiaogu.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have the interchangeables tiny set.
Oh, you do? I didn't know you got those. Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. I like them. Yeah. I'm going to put out a video soon on a new video on needle characteristics, because I have a video that I put out like maybe 8 years ago on needle characteristics, and things have come a long way in the last 8 years. And one of the things that I will definitely point out is those... the itty-bitty interchangeable sets, the ones that make the itty-bitty, super tiny size 9-inch, 10-inch, 14-inch circulars. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're great. They're different. Cool. Well, Casey, that's all we have time for this week.
Okay.
Did I surprise you with that information?
No.
Okay. So if people want to find you online?
My website is Casey Knits. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Okay. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel, where it's complete anarchy in the comments, and verypink.com. And all my social media buttons are on the front page of my website. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but you can find Casey's Instagram and everything on the front page of her website too. We're going to cut it off before I can no longer talk. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.